BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
All of a sudden, we hear this rumbling noise.
And we see the big black mass, like, it in the windows, like.
Then it was blackout.
Time governs everything.
It's a scene of absolute and utter desolation and chaos. The miners that came up from the morning shift have formed themselves into chain lines and they're handling stones and muck and wood and everything.
In a moment, a life can change forever.
1 minute you were a young lad looking forward to the half-term holidays, and the next minute I had death on my shoulder.
I became a different person from the moment that hit. It changed, shaped the person I am today, and my family, and Abervan.
At 9:14 a.m. on the morning of October 21st, 1966, time stands still. A coal tip cascades down a mountainside above the village of Abervan in South Wales. It rains 150,000 tons of thick black coal slurry on the junior school and the houses below, killing 116 children and 28 adults.
I stood by while they were digging out some of the bodies, and one of the worst and sorriest sights I've ever seen, two little girls about 7 years old holding hands who were brought out dead.
This is a story about a moment in time that changed the world. It's a tale of unheeded warnings.
They knew about their tips. We knew about the tips, and we were 6 years of age. All the water was running down. Of course, they tipped, but as everybody knows, they tipped it on top of these streams for years, many, many, many years.
Political cover-ups and class war.
How can I say? They probably looked on us as like peasants, isn't it? You know, it didn't matter. Bunch of old miners down there, they, you know. What do we want to be worried about them for, you know? They're nobodies, isn't it?
Leaving lives shattered and a grieving community fighting for justice.
We fought the government, we fought the council, whatever came up. We had to fight for it.
Trust in the National Coal Board falls away overnight.
The injustices that were done to us all in Abervan is criminal. They got away with it. They got away with everything.
I'm Hannah Daniel, and this is Abervan Tip Number 7. Let's wind the clock back to a time when the South Wales coalfield is one of the largest in the world. Coal is king.
By 1913, coal, steel, and tinplate had together become the main sources of employment in Wales. But of these industries, coal mining had become the most important. There seemed to be no limit to the demand for Welsh coal. Coal was needed in all parts of Britain.
The highly productive Merthyr Vale colliery dominates the thriving village of Aberfan.
The colliery was the raison d'etre of the village. It was providing 1,000 people with employment on the doorstep. There were generations of families that were involved in the coal mining industry. They followed what their father had done in the past. You could fall out of bed into work because the houses surrounded the colliery. You know, when you heard the hooter in the morning, you got up and went to work because the shift was about to start. Many of the terraces that you see in mining communities were all owned by the colliery owners of that time. And they would then rent the properties from the colliery owners, and you were paid by the amount of coal that you actually produced. So it was very low wage economy, many on the thresholds of poverty.
By the 1950s, gas and oil spark a downturn in demand for coal. Uneconomic pits begin to close, so those remaining are closely guarded, and the power of the National Coal Board grows even stronger.
So any issues that were raised about the tips were said, OK, we'll close the colliery. And obviously people didn't want to lose their livelihoods.
Constant warnings were made, neglected, basically just brushed under the carpet.
My father was very concerned with the tips on the mountainside, and he put pen to paper, and the NCB said, you ask us to move the tips and we close the colliery.
The tip slide in 1944, the tip slide in 1963, the tip slide in 1966. How can they get away with it?
I'm now looking through the walls of the shattered school into the main hall, which is a mass of people, of firemen and policemen, mothers, fathers, brothers and sisters and everybody, and standing once again on a pile of black slurry, and underneath us is the infant school. And on top of the slurry is a human chain of buckets, picks. And the debris is going away, handful by handful, brick by brick. Men are standing up to their knees in black water. Why are you digging?
My niece is under there.
In the blink of an eye, lives are changed forever.
The hymn, Loving Shepherd of Thy Sheep, the children's hymn, began the service at 3 o'clock this afternoon to bury the 80 school children from Pentglass School.
Time stands still. But not for long. The battle to find the truth begins.
I went to the tribunal when it just happened to be Sharon's birthday, the little girl that I lost in the disaster. It was a good thing that I wasn't on the stand, or I wasn't talking to him, you know? I'd have floored him.
They could go home at night and think, they still got their jobs, they still having their money, and others were going home and looking at the empty chair, the empty bed.
And still the tips loom over Abervan.
And I said, well, we'll take it ourselves. We'll remove it ourselves, bit by bit, and send it to all you people who think we got to live with it. We will move it, and you can live with it.
Well, now they're all going inside, and they're carrying a sack of slurry from the top of the Abervan tips. What have you done with this sack of slurry you brought?
Tipped it in the hallway.
Have you done it?
They've done it.
I've done it. Good.
It's we waited 2 years
we
for this.
We waited too long for this. Mm.
Survivors tell you their stories. Life will never be the same again.
1 minute I was listening to the teacher, next minute it was blank. Then I woke up and all this material is over me and all these screams and shouts. But the lasting memory for me was the young girl's head on my shoulder, and that was going to cause the problems for many years to come.
When you look back and see what it's done to you, you can only be bitter. You can only be angry. How couldn't you be? How couldn't you be? It ruined everybody who was a part of that day. It ruined.
Said to her, so don't worry, it's only thunder.
The noise of a jet airplane or something.
And it literally froze people in their seats. The children were froze in their seats.
This podcast is narrated by me, Hannah Daniel. It's written and produced by Maria David and Andy Fry. Sound design is by Kathy Robinson. Executive producers are Karen Voisey and Emma Harding.
BBC Sounds.